Terry. Merry Christmas, Mother. Merry Christmas, Taz. Merry Christmas, Yolanda. Merry Christmas, bro.
Merry Christmas, Kurt.
It's time.
It's time again for the holidays. With pain and sorrow miles away. But in my spirit, I gotta say, there's no Christmas without you. With caroling and mistletoe, children playing in the snow. But in their hearts, the world must know, there's no Christmas without you.
Your gift?
Your gift of love.
Yeah.
So with our voice and lift it high,
hallelujah.
And praise and reach us to the sky.
Jesus, you're
The reason why there's no Christmas without you.
Yo, David, can we say that part again? Let's say that again.
There's no Christmas without you.
Now let's see, I need to make that a Christmas list. Should we put on that big one? Monica Neely. Carry on. Uncle Jesse. Who else? Little David. Tia. Who else? It's Jesus' birthday. Tammy. I can't forget Tammy. But it's Jesus' birthday. Happy birthday, Tammy. We love you. Let's say it again. Your gift.
Your gift of love.
Sent from above.
Sent from above.
Yeah.
So let me shout forever.
So with our voices.
So with our voices lifted high.
And praise.
And praise and reach us to the sky.
Jesus, you're.
Jesus, you're the reason why. There's no Christmas without you.
David, can we say that for us?
Blog Talk and Running for Christ Ministries family. It's Saturday. Time to go to school. And today, we're going to learn something, and it's going to be good. So right now, let's open in prayer. Father, this morning, we praise and thank you for Jesus. Without the greatest gift that you have ever given to mankind, we are lost and undone. But because of your determined love for us and because of your plans for us, we have been made right through your Son and his obedience to your will. So right now, Father, as we plunge into this, help us not just to get some facts and information to be able to answer questions, but to shore up our hope, why our confidence is in Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Good morning, people.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Hope you got your big Bible out and you got your papers. You have to have your papers this morning because we are going to help develop our apologetic. Apologetic meaning our defense of our faith. Why we are in allegiance with Jesus Christ. And one of the ways to do that is to be able to answer questions when people have them. And this time of year, more than any, we see a whole lot of wannabe theologians slash intellectuals that come at Christians for celebrating Christmas. Now, I know if you listen to Pastor yesterday, you know it's all right that we celebrate Christmas. But I need us to understand when Jesus was born. So if somebody would, that's the question we're going to ask today, answer today. When was Jesus born? Somebody read our key verse for us, please.
Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, verse 16 in the NIV.
All right. Thank you very much, my sister. So if you, this is in defense of reading the Old Testament. If you don't read the Old Testament, it's a lot of things in the New Testament you just will not understand because the Old Testament writers, including Jesus, that was their Bible. Then the New Testament writers, including Jesus, that was their Bible. So when they were saying something, they were referring back to their Bible, the Old Testament. So for people who like to skip reading the Old Testament, yeah, missing it. All right, so let's ask them this question. Was Jesus born on December 25th?
No. I'm saying no.
All right. Good answer. Glad you all said that. No. No. First of all, if you understand geography, Israel, a.k.a. Jerusalem, a.k.a. Bethlehem, would have been in wintertime during December like we are. I don't know if it's similar to we are because I saw earthworms outside this morning, but if anybody knows this time of year, we should not be seeing earthworms. But during that time, it would have been snowy and cold and rainy season. So more than likely, and especially shepherds with sheep, in a field near mountains, they would be in greener pastures. They would need to be in green pastures in order for the sheep to eat. They would not keep the sheep outside. They would bring them into an area where they could be keep warmer, and the shepherds for that matter. So this time of year is not even conducive for those things to happen. All right, but I did put this. How do we answer a culture that knows more about the details of Jesus' birth than most of his followers? Using the scriptures and historical records, we can determine approximately the time of year Jesus was born, and more importantly, the significance of that time. That's really what we need to understand. Yes, he came. He was born. But the time is very significant, as I hope this lesson will reveal to you what it has revealed to me. Again, this is not just about knowing what, so we can say, well, Jesus was born on this date, but we need to understand why it's significant when he was born, that it's God's hand is all over it. So let's follow the clues. Let's turn in our Bible to Luke chapter 1, and somebody read verse 5. And let's answer this first question that gives us a clue as to when Jesus was born.
In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron.
Okay. So now we have this guy Zechariah. Who are he and his wife descendants of?
Aaron.
Aaron. So what tribe did they belong to?
Levite.
Okay, they belong to the tribe of Levi. So they were in the royal, they were in the priestly line. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So here we have Zechariah going up to serve, because if you understand just the basics about the Levitical priesthood, there were stations or groupings. And so everybody wasn't at the temple at the same time. So they would come at certain times of year to serve the family members. So what? Whose division did Zechariah serve under?
Abijah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Now, what we need to find out is when Abijah served, which I'm going to show you later after we get this clue. So here's our first clue. Our first clue is Zechariah served during Abijah's time. Got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue in Luke chapter 1, and let's get our next clue, just kind of filling in the story a little bit, verses 11 through 22 of Luke chapter 1.
Okay.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a light to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even before he is born, he will bring back many of his people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah." To turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words." I have trouble seeing this. "Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at this appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed too long in the temple. 22.
22, yes.
Okay. Is there another part to it? speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, where he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak.
All right. Thank you very much, Mother. So, short version, what happened while he was serving in the temple?
An angel came to bring him a message.
Right.
What was the message?
That he was going to have a child.
He'll be a papa.
All right. And what was profound about this message? Why was this strange?
Because of their age.
Yeah. Both of them were old. They were Sarah and Abraham old. They were past their time of reproduction, if you would. So this is, and they had not had any children as well. Remember, Elizabeth was barren. So this is a profound event. All right, we're still developing our case. We're moving towards Jesus. Let's keep in Luke and somebody read verses 23 to 26, and let's read about this encounter.
When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon after, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." And 26, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Go to what?
You can read to 28. You can read to 28 so we can fill it in.
Well, in the village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
You're
so
welcome.
We have this encounter where Elizabeth, when Zechariah went home, what happened to Elizabeth?
She got pregnant.
She got pregnant. Yes. And so how long had she been pregnant when Mary came to visit her?
6 months.
6 months. 6 months.
Right.
All right. Now, in your papers, you should have a copy of, it says the Israelite feast. But what it actually is a copy of Jewish calendars. Do you have that?
Okay. Got it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No.
All right. And then some of you all have a book that is called Bible Maps and Charts. If you need to pull that book out, you can pull that book out. If you don't have a copy of the chart, and in it on page 40, there is a Jewish calendar in there. So that'll help us because we need this. Because remember, we're trying to answer this question. When approximately was Jesus birth? All right. So according to the Talmud, this is Jewish historical records, and our other historical books, Abijah served in the temple during the last 2 weeks of the sacred calendar month of Tammuz. All right. Now, the Jewish calendar is divided into, they actually operate on two calendars. They have a civil calendar, which is like we have our January, February, March, April, May, June, you know, all those, the dates, the months, the weeks. But then, so they can do business in the communities that they live in, because they're not the only people in the world. But then they have a sacred calendar. And that sacred calendar marks off the special feasts and times of sacrifice that they live out. So when Abijah served, it was during the month or the overlap, what we would call civil months of Tammuz, which takes place between June and July. Does everybody see Tammuz on their calendar?
Yes, yep. On there. On telephone.
All right.
No, I don't own it.
Okay, but you do have that book, Bible Maps and Charts, because I gave it to all that were in my teacher's training class. It's okay, Deacon. Come to class tomorrow, and you'll get the sheet. You'll get a copy.
I would love to.
Okay.
I'm in my final stages of sickness.
Oh, okay.
I ain't been there since Thanksgiving because of this.
All right.
Yeah.
You be well. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
So Tammuz, that's the month. So if you see Tammuz, then if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 after Tammuz, because remember it's an overlap. What month did Mary arrive to see Elizabeth?
Between December and January. December.
I put it on your paper, but.
Between December and January.
All right. Yeah. So what was the name, the Jewish name of the month where she arrived?
Tevet
and Shavat. So somewhere between Tevet and Shavat is when she arrived to see Elizabeth. All right?
Okay.
So now you can mark, if you want to mark on the side of your notes, somewhere there. And, it's kind of like in rounding. After you at 5, you got to round up. If you're before, you got to round down. So we're going to move up, and we're going to put it approximately. We're going to say, for purposes, Shavat. Shavat is what I meant to say. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's look at question 4. We presume Mary carried the full term, right? Because we know the scripture tells us that when she and Joseph went to Bethlehem, it was time for her to give birth, wasn't it?
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So from Shavat, if that's when she came to see Elizabeth, right after the angel told her that she had conceived that child, how many count 9 months from there and see where we land?
In April. Adar 2 or this time?
I'm looking at.
No.
I came up with September Elul.
Again.
Oh, 9 months from Shavat. Nine months from Shavat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, October.
Tishrei.
Don't look at, I don't want to hear our dates. Use the Jewish names.
Right.
Oh,
Tishrei.
Because we're using the sacred calendar.
Okay.
So what is it?
Tishrei or Shavi?
Tishrei.
Tishrei.
Tishrei. It's Tishrei. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's approximately September, October time. For us. You see the overlap? All right. But,
yes.
but for the Jewish calendar, it is the month of Tishrei. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now, this is the sacred calendar. What 3 things happened during Tishrei according to the sheet that I gave you and according to scripture that we're going to look at?
Oh.
The Festival of
Tabernacles. Trumpets and the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
So we got the Feast of Tabernacle or Festival. Then we have the Feast of Trumpets. And we have the Day of Atonement that all take place during Tishrei. All right. Let's get back in our Bibles because we need to go back and visit. Because remember, it's not just knowing what now. We can assume Jesus was born sometime around Tishrei. And I'm going to show you how the clues actually, why this makes sense. Leviticus chapter 23. We got to go back and we got to learn about these 3 days. Or these 3 events that happened during. So Leviticus chapter 23. First, I need somebody to read because I'm not going to read all of it. Verses 23 through 25. Go ahead and read 23 through 25.
The Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel on the first day of the appointed month in early autumn. You are to observe a day of complete rest. It will be an official day for a holy assembly, a day commemorated with loud blast of a trumpet. You must do ordinary work today. You must do no ordinary work on that day. Instead, you are to present special gifts to the Lord. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen. All right. So this is the Feast of Trumpets. What's the significance of the Feast of Trumpets? In other words, what are they? What is it for?
The Sabbath.
It's a Sabbath, which means it's a what?
A day of holiness?
Rest.
Day
of rest.
Rest.
Rest. Oh, rest. My bad. Okay.
All right. Why was the Sabbath instituted?
At the completion.
That's the day we complete everything.
At the completion of what?
Of the Exodus, because they had not had a day off in 400 years.
Okay, but it pictures something else.
Completion
okay.
of creation.
Day of creation.
Completion
oh.
of creation.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought
that's
I said
what, that. That's the, because when you look at Exodus and God gives the command that remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because it says because of 6 days the Lord created, and on the seventh day he rests. So the Sabbath is connected. Yes, it was given to them as part of the law, and yes, to give them time off because they hadn't had 400 years, they hadn't had a day off. But also, it is totally connected to God's rest. Rest, meaning no more, nothing else needed to be done. When God finished creating everything, he said, not only was it very good, but he also said, it's enough.
Okay.
Right.
There's nothing else that needs to be done. So it is a sacred day of rest. So this Sabbath could fall on any day of the week.
Okay.
But it says specifically the first day of the seventh month. So if the first day of the seventh month is our Tuesday, that was the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. If it was a Wednesday, that was the Sabbath. It wasn't just coinciding with the weekly Sabbath that the Jews were to take.
Okay.
It could be any day. It was as long as it was the first day of their seventh month, which is Tishri. Because the Jewish New Year starts, the Jewish sacred year starts at Nisan, which is around March and April. So this is the Jewish seventh, the sacred seventh month. It's Tishri. All right, so this takes place during Tishri. All right, let's read about the next one that they're supposed to take. Verses 26, might as well read the 32 since we have time.
The Lord again spoke to Moses. The 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. You are to hold a sacred assembly and practice self-denial. You are to present a food offering to the Lord. On this particular day, you are not to do any work, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for yourselves before the Lord your God. If any person does not practice self-denial on this particular day, he is to be cut off from his people. I will destroy among his people anyone who does any work on this same day. You are not to do any work. This is a permanent statute throughout your generations, wherever you live. It will be a Sabbath of complete rest for you, and you must practice self-denial. You are to observe your Sabbath from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening.
All right. So now we have another Sabbath rest, another day of rest. And this day is the day of what?
Atonement.
The day of atonement.
Day of atonement. What's special about the Day of Atonement?
This is the day that the high priest will go into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for their sins.
Now, how many days of atonement were there in a year?
One.
Only one. Only one. So now we have, and it's also, it's an, again, it's another Sabbath. It's so it could fall on any day of the week. As long as it is on the ninth day of the month, starts, commences at sundown on the ninth day, again, the Jewish till sundown on the tenth day. So this is a 24-hour period of rest, no work, another offering is given to the Lord. But this particular day of atonement includes fasting because it is the day that this is the only time once a year where the high priest enters the most holy place, the place where God's presence is above the cherubim, above the Ark of the Covenant. It's the only time he's allowed to go in there with blood to make atonement for the nation for the year. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So what else? And this also happens. This happens. It commences on the ninth day of Tishri, the ninth through the tenth day, because of the overlap. But this is also happens during Tishri. So now we got the Feast of Trumpets, which is a Sabbath, which is a rest day during Tishri.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Day of Atonement during the month of Tishri. Let's look at the next day that takes place, the next thing that takes place. Verses 33 through the end of the chapter, 44.
The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no regular work. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing food offerings to the Lord, the burnt offering and grain offering, sacrifices and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbaths and in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed and all the freewill offerings you give to the Lord. So, beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest. And the eighth day also is a day of Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters. So your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses announced to the Israelites the appointed festivals of the Lord. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So here we have also during the month of Tishri, starting on the 15th day, but this is a seventh day festival.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the festival of what?
Tabernacles.
Feast of Booths.
Festival of Tabernacles. What is it so they can remember? What are they commemorating?
The Exodus, where they were in the wilderness with no houses.
Okay. So when they were traveling throughout the wilderness to remember But specifically, while they had no houses and they were living in temporary dwellings, who else was mm-hmm. in a temporary dwelling while they were in the wilderness?
Jesus.
The presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord. Where was he located at?
In the Holy of Holies?
Okay. You got the room, but the bigger thing, the bigger place. I'll give you a hint
tabernacle.
In the word. In the tabernacle.
Uh-oh.
Remember, the tabernacle was a temporary dwelling, right? When the presence of God moved, they had to pack everything up and move. Including
right.
the tabernacle. But the tabernacle was the place where God's presence dwelt among them while they dwelt in tabernacle.
Okay.
That's so important. God's presence was with them while they were tabernacling. They tabernacled with God.
Okay.
commemorate. All right, so we got three things that happened during the month of Tishri. We've got the Sabbath rest, the Feast of Trumpets. We've got the Day of Atonement, where the sacrifice of sin is made for the nation once a year. And we have the Feast of Tabernacles, the remembrance of them dwelling in shelters, but God dwelling with them also in shelters. We're going to get a little deeper into that as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What did the Feast of Tabernacles include during this 7 days? What did they do?
They brought
no
food
work.
Offerings.
Okay.
They
brought
bringing food
offerings.
To, right.
Did they fast during this time?
Yes.
Did they?
Oh, they did. I didn't think so.
I mean,
did you say that?
You don't say.
I don't think they're fasting during feast. This is a festival.
They didn't fast during tabernacles. This is a feasting, and I'm going to tell you why in a second. All right. Look at verse 40.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 39
okay.
and 40. It says 39. It says, so the beginning of the 15th day of the 7th month, you have gathered what?
Crops of the land.
The produce
okay,
of the
what
land.
What do you call that when you gather your crops?
Harvest.
Harvest.
When do we usually harvest in the Northern Hemisphere? During
the
month. I like fall months.
I mean,
September, October.
Yeah, during the fall months. All right, and in this it says, and they to celebrate their crops.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest two bumper crops would be the grain harvest and the grape harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Grape.
The grapes.
Oh.
Grapes. You know where they make wine? Grapes.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So
right.
During these two things, they would harvest the wheat and the grain, and then they would thresh the grain when they would harvest it. Remember, they go through the threshing floor. That's the day where they
mm-hmm.
throw something looks like a pitchfork, and they throw it up in the air, and the kernels fall to the ground, the seeds fall to the ground, but the chaff blows away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what a substance stays, but the chaff disappears, they would thresh during this time. Then they would also take the grape harvest in, and then they would press the grapes.
Oh, man.
During this time. So these would be two of their biggest things that they would harvest at this time. And then they would celebrate it because, you know, that's the harvest is important because the harvest is based on I planted, I tilled, I watered, and I'm waiting to see the increase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's a hope that they had. And so they celebrated this. So this would be taking place during this time. But look at verse 40. And it says about, it says to take from their choice fruit and from the trees, but what else were they supposed to take?
Branches from luxuriant trees.
All right. So where have we seen branches taken and used? Because they would build the tabernacles with these branches is what they
when,
would do.
When, Jesus
when Christ rode in on the donkey.
Okay. So now that that's in your head and in your ears, we going to keep going. Keep all, hopefully you can keep all this in mind. Tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles. We got imagery. We got palm branches. We got grain harvest, the threshing in the seeds, the kernels that fall down during this time. We got grapes being pressed. We got God's fingerprints all over the time of Jesus' birth. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And somebody read verses 1 through 12.
Solomon then summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral families of the Israelites. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to the temple from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion. So all of the men of Israel assembled before King Solomon at the annual Festival of Shelters, which is held in the early autumn in the month of Ethanim. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the priests picked up the ark. The priests and Levites brought up the ark of the Lord along with the special tent and all the sacred items that had been in it. There, before the ark, King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed so many sheep, goats, and cattle that no one could keep count. Then the priest carried to the Ark of the Lord's Covenant into the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and placed it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the ark, forming a canopy over the ark and its carry poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place, which is in front of the most holy place. But not from the outside. They are still there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Mount Sinai, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they left the land of Egypt. When the priest came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priest could not continue their services because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. Amen? Where am I going?
Amen.
You know what? Yeah, you
got to
go to 12. Go to 12. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then Solomon prayed, "O Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you and place where you can live forever." Amen?
All right.
Okay.
So now we have
this
exciting event that happened. Who built the temple for God?
Solomon.
Remember, David wanted to. God, you a man of war. Too much blood on your hands. No, your son will build it. So Solomon builds the temple for the Lord. And this day is when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to the temple. Because remember, it had been resting on the threshing. It had been resting. I forget the guy's name, where it was at. It was in his house because they couldn't move it because they weren't moving it properly. So it was in a tent. It was in another tabernacle still, because David wanted to build the temple. Anyway, so the Ark of the Covenant is being brought to the temple. What does the Ark of the Covenant represent?
The presence of God.
The presence of God. So the presence of God is brought to the temple. When did this take place? What day did this take place on? Or what month did this take place in, rather?
Thema.
Look at verse 2.
The seventh month. At the festival.
The seventh month. So this is another name for Tishri. That's all it is. It's just an Aramaic name. So this is the month of Tishri, the seventh month when the presence, the God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant, is brought to the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles, is when God's presence is brought to the temple. You see this?
Yes.
I'm showing you God's fingerprints are all over this. And notice what Solomon says, and it's actually in verse 13. It says, I've indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to do what?
Dwell forever.
All right, we're going to get to that word in a minute, that Greek word, dwell, what that word means.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we're set up. So now let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Remember, we're looking at the clues. We pretty much narrowed down when Jesus was born, but now we're looking at why he was born. Luke chapter 2, and somebody read verses 22 through 35. I know we got some big passages to read this morning, but.
When the time came of their purification according to the law of Moses had been complete, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple's courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow. Okay.
I just want to just go to 35. I know. It's like doing Simeon without Anna is like having peanut butter without
I'm
milk.
Sorry.
But it's okay for the purpose of our class. And I really should have included verse 21 in this passage, so I wrote it on my notes. Who was brought to the temple on the eighth day?
Baby Jesus.
The child Jesus.
The child Jesus, and he was born in what month?
Tishri.
Eighth day. Something about the eighth day is significant.
Mm.
Because the Sabbath
they,
is the
at
day
the eighth
of,
day they had to be they had
the
to be
first day of the week?
Oh, I just thought on the eighth day they had to be circumcised.
Okay. Y'all both right. First of all, it's the first day of the week. The second thing, or eighth day, it's the first day for them, the eighth day. But it says every firstborn male has to be consecrated on that day.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
So that's he came to be circumcised on that day. Every firstborn, first fruits, firstborn. Okay. So just there, and we're going to go somewhere. We're going to keep going. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 14, and let's see what John has to say that is going to help us bring in why Jesus was born when all of these things are going on. Sabbath rest, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. John chapter 1, verse 14. Somebody read.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And then if I give you the Greek word, is skino. Skino. Eskino. It's Eskino. Not Eskimo. Eskino. But skino. Anybody know what that word? That is the word dwell. Okay? That's the word that's used. But that word also has another root. I mean, another word that uses the same root. Can anybody guess what that word dwell is attached, is also related to?
Tent?
Close. Bigger word. What occurred during the month when Jesus was born? The last festival? The festival of
Tabernacles.
What he just said. Yep. The Feast of Tabernacles. The word dwell and the word tabernacle have the same root. They come from the same root, skeno.
Okay.
And so when John wrote, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, he was saying the Word became flesh and tabernacled with us. What was the Feast of Tabernacles celebrating?
God
being where?
Oh, God.
And the ship being with God tabernacling with Israel in the wilderness during an Exodus, right? So it was also about the harvest and all those things, but it was about tabernacling. Remember, they tabernacled. God was with them. God tabernacled with them. His presence was always with them. And now here Jesus, born during the month of the Feast of Tabernacles, comes on the eighth day to be circumcised, and then John uses the word tabernacle. What is Emmanuel?
God with us.
God with us. Who is Jesus?
Lord. God with us.
God
Emmanuel.
With us.
God with us.
So John is saying God, Jesus Emmanuel, the word tabernacle. God dwells with us. So that's what John is saying when he said the word dwelled among us. The word of God tabernacled with us. And it just so happens that he was born during the month that includes the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay.
Okay.
Fingerprints, right? Okay, we got one more in us before we stop. All right, let's fill in John just a couple verses. Let's go to chapter 12, and somebody read verses 23 and 24, the words of Jesus.
Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new life. Those who love their life." Okay.
That's it. 23 and 24. And I like that translation because it's okay, because you read something there, especially at the end of that translation. So here we have, what does Jesus say about a kernel of wheat?
It has to die.
It falls to the ground and die.
And when would it fall to the ground? Well, during what process?
I will tell you.
When it's producing fruit.
What do they do when they take the harvest in and they take the fork and
they
go to the threshing floor?
Oh, threshing, yeah.
And they separate. Yeah.
And what falls to the ground?
The seed.
Kernel of wheat.
The kernels of wheat.
Okay, my bad.
And when do they do that? During what feast?
The fall.
Tabernacle.
During the season, in the fall, during Tishri, during that month. And then here Jesus is saying, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it stands alone, but it produces a greater harvest. He's saying he's the kernel of wheat.
Hmm.
Okay. That happened to be born during the month that the threshing of wheat takes place.
Tishra.
Oh, so that's the one. That was from number 24.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
During the Feast of Tabernacles, during that season, the Word, the one who tabernacles with us, is our kernel of wheat, because we are the greater harvest. Because he came and did what? Except the kernel of wheat.
He died.
And in his death, what did he do for us? He made atonement for us. And next week, we will talk about the other things that he did. And we'll put a bow on it, and we'll wrap it up. Merry Christmas. I'll see some of you all tomorrow. But now we understand that when people ask us, hey, Jesus born, he was born on December 25th, we know that. But let me tell you about when he was born. And not only when he was born, but why we believe that
Amen.
He was born during the month of Tishri, fulfilling not one, not two, but three sacred things that God commanded in order to tabernacle with his people. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what you're revealing to us. You didn't go to high-minded people or people in great esteem or power, but you came to us who just get up on a Saturday morning, pull out our Bibles. We fumble and stumble through. But Holy Spirit, you bring us right to the table so we can eat. Help us to understand how completely you have control over the narrative that you have given about how things are to go. And we thank you for Jesus and his coming and fulfilling your word. And now you tabernacle not only with us, but in us because of him. We praise you in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good class.
Amen. Amen. Very good class. Happy Christmas, everyone. Sister Janice, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness and teaching, learning, and doing. You know we appreciate you in all that you do. Okay? Have a beautiful day.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Hey, you guys. It's a new day, a day we have not seen before, December 23rd, 2023, Christmas weekend. So get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, a piece of Irma's banana nut bread. And after this song selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's Christmas time. Love that song. And Jesus is the reason for the season. It is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And today is our youth weekend, and you know, on the fourth and fifth Saturday of each month, we acknowledge and give our youth the opportunity to serve and to participate in our morning worship service. And we have this morning to do scripture, prayer, and our proclamation is Innocent Williams. Let's receive her. Good morning, Innocent.
Good morning. My name is Anita Williams. Jesus is the reason for the season. Why are we here? We proclaim that Jesus the King, existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises today. Died for our sins according with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day, and according with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses and enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Our scripture reading is the birth of Jesus, Luke 2:1-12. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child while they were. The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there was a shepherd living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will change, that cause great joy for all the people. Today is day in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. That this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doors of God's word. Amen. Let us pray. Opening prayer, God. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who was participating in the worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our song, prayer, and the preacher word word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the Lord and with a word from all of us for you, for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Innocent William, for that. We bless you and thank you. Okay. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
once upon a long night, after a hard ride, somewhere in Bethlehem, a baby breaks the silence, sweetly he's crying, and I am Emmanuel. Then angels gave him music, shepherds gave reverence, and a message to the land, a widow held and cherished, the God who became a man. But oh, Lamb of God, O Prince of Peace, what tribute shall I bring to worship thee? I have no gold to lay. Found the one child, the very God child, who ruled the universe. Did they know the lady, little baby, was God and fully man? And everything they gave him, he himself had made with his hands. But oh,
to purchase us with his blood. Amen. And then rose on the third day and imputed his righteousness to anybody who would believe. And then when he ascended into heaven, just before he left, he told his disciples, I need you to give you to me. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they said they gave themselves first to the Lord, then to the apostles. That's what God wants for Christmas. If you wonder what Jesus wants for Christmas, if you want to give him something, give him what he came to purchase. That's you. There's no greater gift you can give him than you. He went through the cross for you. He suffered, bled, and died, and raised on the third day according to the scriptures for you, for me, for us, to anybody who would believe. Amen. Christmas. Christ. I say Christ mass. I put a little dash in there. The reason I put it in there is Christ. And then I'm not talking about mass, M-A-S-S. I'm talking about mass. More. Christ. More. So every time you see me spell Christmas and put a dash in there, oh, I know what he's talking about. He want more Christ. That's what he wants for Christmas. I give kids things and toys and things and gifts to other people. But what I want is to be more like Jesus. Let's all sing together.
Raise your voice and thank.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Oh, she will come back and sing.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, Pastor O, you, my highest praise, you always put us in that spirit, and you put us in that Christmas spirit, and we just thank you. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been truly moved and encouraged. We thank you, okay? Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Little Princess Harley McClendon, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our little Harley McClendon pray to the Lord. Amen.
Candy, trying to make it now. Riding bikes to the corner shop. Now we older and you in the block. All of your kids getting bigger. They missing their daddy. They wish you was with them. I talked to your mama. She told me don't give up and pray for her son, cause she ain't raised no quitter. I wish I could run it back. I would tell us that daddies ain't coming back. I would tell us if we stick together, then we can do anything. We got each other's back. Lost my cousin, I cry every summer now. I beat all of my cases. I wonder how. If it wasn't for God in my life, I'd be wearing them stripes. I'd be laying up underground. Yeah.
Been a long time waiting on it.
Everything we've been through, we still managing. Used to drink every night just to handle it. Losing sleep every night from the damages. I was popping them pills in Decatur. Scrolling online and responding to haters. Came from the trenches, no handouts, no favors. Lay away close, hoping we get them later. Hating on me, devil praying on me. Everybody dying, it was weighing on me. Lot of power in me, lot of pain on me. I thank God for people who was praying for me. And we were struggling, trying to pay the rent. Taking losses, trying to get a win. Praying, fighting through the hardest years. Took a minute, but we made it.
Been a long time waiting on it.
Our Father in heaven, we worship you because you are the Lord, our God, because you are the God who made sun, moon, sky, plants, birds, animals, and people. We thank you that you are a loving God that cares for us. We thank you for this day that you made for us. And we are happy that you woke up us to see it. We thank you for a family, a place called home, and friends who are called like family. Teachers who help us understand in all the blessings. You have gave us like clean clothes and food to eat. Thank you, Lord, for every person who is kind to us, reminding us quickly to be kind to others. Please help us to live you today with joy in our hearts. We know that we make mistakes every day. We ask that you help us to obey to them and mold us into what please you. Please guide us in the way that you want us to go. We thank you for keeping enemies around us everywhere and protecting us from the enemy. We ask that you heal the sick, comfort those who are sad, provide water for the thirsty, food for the hungry, and clothes for those who don't have it. And obey. Lord, we say yes to your way. In your will, you will for our lives. You bless the preacher with a word of you for all of us to hear. We ask for all. Amen.
Amen.
I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle. I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door. Pain's creeping through the back. Fear's crawling through the windows. Waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters. But tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face. I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face. They don't understand what I'm going through.
The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
Fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on.
They say fear haunts you, and pain hates. I say pain strengthens, and fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes, don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settled for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world tryna play with my soul. I'm just tryna find where to go. I'm tryna remember the way. I'm tryna get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel like you can't fight this on your own. You know I'll be there for you no matter where you go. You'll never be alone. No, just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it.
Power, power, power in prayer. thank you. Thank you, Princess Harley, for praying and making our request known to God. You have a merry little Christmas here. Amen. Okay, so far we are having a great time this morning, and I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to first wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Merry Christmas, and just thank all our young, our youth, for our Youth Day, and everyone that served today, especially our young youth, Innocent Williams, and our little Princess Harley McClendon. Lord, just keep praying for our youth all over the world. We love you, and we need you to survive. Amen? Thank you, and just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Amen. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessings. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hey, time for the preach word. A message from God. The very best part and the icing on the cake. Okay. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing after this song selection is our teacher of our little people and our youth. Our very own sister, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. So prepare to receive this woman of God, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, as she comes in her own way with a word from the Lord. Receive her with an open and warm heart. Amen.
Holy, holy.
Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count of pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I'll keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence, the fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns, you took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life up on the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Amen. Amen. Happy Saturday. Happy holidays for those that indulge. Happy New Year for those that indulge. I am Sarah Tate McClendon, and it is always my pleasure to bring God's word through this vessel from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray, and then we can dive right in. Lord, thank you for being a refuge and a strength and an ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you for being all the things that we need in all the spaces, Lord, and we ask that you continue to bless us as we walk this walk and try to align with you, Lord. Allow us to continue to be filled with your spirit, Lord, and those that are searching for you, allow them to find you, Lord. Thank you again for being patient and kind and loving, and we ask that today's word is everything that you want it to be and nothing that I want, Lord, and nothing that I anticipate. Lord, we just ask that you pour into our hearts, Lord, so that we may meditate on your word daily. Again, thank you for giving life, health, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's message is about apprenticeship. And specifically, we're going to look at the story of Joshua and Moses really quick, and then we're going to jump into the New Testament where Jesus himself is talking about what apprenticeship looks like and the first thing that needs to be done in order to agree to an apprenticeship with Christ, if you will. Before I get started being a teacher, I want to, identify my keywords today. And so one of the keywords would be yoke. The other one, obviously, is apprenticeship. And so we are going to look at those words and how the Bible figuratively uses those words in a space that describes discipleship under Christ. When we think about being a disciple, we think about the sacrifice and following directions and doing everything that that person asks of us. But sometimes we don't think about the dedication that has to be had behind it. And so in the Jewish culture, in order to be an apprentice of someone or someone that learned of a skill from someone, you had to literally go live with them, absorb their atmosphere, be with them 24/7. And you had to understand what their lifestyle was. And so my key message today, my key verse, I'm sorry, is going to be Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, where Jesus talks about his yoke and taking on his yoke. And so I'll give you a second to turn to it. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 27, ending at verse 30. And I am going to read from the New Living Translation in the beginning, and at the end, when I reread text for concluding purposes, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible, you know, expands words and expands usages of words. And so before we get into apprenticeship, and I want to talk about yoke. And so objectively or tangibly or something that you can hold, a yoke helps oxes carry heavy loads for people, right? Or livestock, if you will, not oxen specifically, just livestock. And so essentially this is something that a human body cannot physically carry. A human body has a hard time carrying it, and you need to use the muscles of a livestock. That is what a yoke is. That is what a yoke is used for in the physical, if you will. In the figurative or in the spiritual realm, God uses yoke to describe transgressions or strongholds or anything that may come in the way of you serving God. And so we are going to specifically look at that type of yoke today, and how God figuratively uses that to describe what our apprenticeship should look like and what we should look like as people that are mentors of apprentices. The relationship in a apprenticeship. It is more than important because it is Youth Saturday, and so we constantly, what's wrong with them? What's going on? What can we do? And sometimes we don't mentor well, if you will, and this isn't to throw shade or anything like that, because I am now in a space where God has called me to be a mentor, which means I need to clean up some things. I need to begin to dig a little bit deeper in God's word to be accountable for someone else's soul. And even that little girl that did the altar call today, she's actually one of mine. And so I need to be able to deliver God's word to her in a way and help her in meditate on God's word and be motivated by God's word in a way because of the way that I teach her. And so the key thing that's important with the spiritual yoke and apprenticeship is that Christ literally asked us in Matthew, and we're going to read it, in Matthew 2, take off our yoke, our heavy load, and put on his because it's lighter. He doesn't say worry about what happens to your load. He says, hey, just take that off and put mine on, and we're going to read it. But it's interesting how Christ just comes up and says, guess what, you could take that off and put me on. And so Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, New King James Version. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That is where Christ asks you to be in an apprenticeship with him. He wants you to take everything that you know, everything that you're used to, everything that makes you comfortable, give it up and learn up under me. Now, in Jewish culture, when I was doing research, I learned
that this starts when you're like 12, 11 type thing for most children. They begin to learn a skill from someone. And specifically, of course, we don't talk about the women aspect of it because of oppression and various whatever the case may be. But it's interesting when you look at the male perspective because they literally give up whatever they thought they were going to do with their lives and they follow directions of someone else. And so when Christ asked you to give up your yoke, he said, hey, remember, cast all your cares on me because I care about you. I care that that is too heavy for you mentally. Sometimes we don't tie it in like that. Sometimes we think that Christ is just trying to ruin our fun, and that's not the case. No, that sin is weighing on you so heavily that it's affecting your work for the kingdom. And Christ says, I want you to take all of that off because I'm about my Father's business. So when you put my yoke on, you will be about my Father's business. Amen? Amen. So I want to go back a little bit in the Old Testament, and I want to turn to Exodus chapter 24. Let me grab my Bible. Exodus chapter 17. And in Exodus chapter 17, specifically in verse 17 verse 9. Moses chose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the mountain. Joshua did as Moses said. Exodus chapter 17 introduces Joshua. Let me find a verse where it specifically calls him. Anyway, for time's sake. So Exodus chapter 17, Exodus 24, sorry, verse 13. My notes all over the place. Moses takes his servant, and Joshua is called Moses' assistant. And so when Joshua is called Moses' assistant, we see the relationship between Moses and Joshua being what it is. Very, 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 very interesting. Joshua was from the tribe of Joseph. I said, oh, hi. Joseph was Joshua's great-grandfather. And the interesting part about Joseph being Joshua's great-grandfather is that there had to be some type of pass down of information, if you will, for the purpose of getting Christ's story where it was supposed to be. Sometimes we assume that people are related to each other, and we say, hey, they know that person, they know that person, they know that person. But remember, in the Bible times, they didn't have cell phones or tablets or anything like that. And so they literally have to use word of mouth and have to tell the truth about what God said about things. And when we get into apprenticeship, when we get into making disciples of people, when we get into following Christ's example, we see that Christ always people in the direction of his Father. Also in Exodus chapter in Exodus 24, there was an affirming of the covenant of God. And so God asked Moses to come spend some time with him. And Joshua went with him all the way up until the point where the cloud came and got Moses. Joshua didn't go up in the cloud. Only Moses went up in the cloud to get the Ten Commandments. That means Joshua waited. Now, then why am I talking about Joshua and Moses and what does it have to do with apprenticeship and everything? Moses did not get into the promised land. Joshua had to take over. God had to tell Joshua over and over and over and over, be strong and courageous, because I've trained you up under him. You've seen what he's seen. You've been some spaces that he's been in with me, and I want you to trust me. Also, within Joshua's lifespan, Jehovah Nissi is established. The Lord is my banner. And so Joshua's story is very pivotal in apprenticeship because he followed directions for years. When we look at Moses' part of the apprenticeship, the person that's the mentor, we see that Moses directly had a connection face-to-face with God. So what God was telling Moses, Moses was telling Joshua in and out. In and out to get Moses, to get Joshua ready, excuse me, to have that relationship with God. And because of the relationship with God, not only did they cross the Jordan, not only did they get into the promised land, they defeated Jericho too. They defeated a lot of people under Joshua. Joshua was a warrior. Joshua wasn't scared. This was the man they sent spies into the space and said, hey, is this too dangerous? Is this this? 10 people came back and said, no, we shouldn't do it. And Joshua and his boy Caleb, who was, by the way, 85 years old, said, no, we can take it down. So when we fathom when Christ asked us to take off our yoke, he's also asking us to take off our way of thinking. He's asking us to learn up under him directly. Verse 29 says it. It says, take off your yoke and learn up under me. Take off your yoke. Take off your way of thinking. Take your way of doing things off. Take your way of speaking to people. How you? That was a big one to me. We know this already, y'all. Like, for real. I'm like, a terrible person. But respond better to people. Respond how I would respond to people. Don't respond how you want to respond because now you're learning up under me. You represent me now. That was another thing that was really interesting with the apprenticeship discovery, if you will, was that you now represent what you're learning. And so are you going to make a mockery of your mentor? Amen. Jesus did not make a mockery of his mentor. So how do we make a mockery of our mentor by not following the direction? By saying, oh, no, I got a better plan, teacher. Amen. And I'm not attacking anybody. If anybody, I'm attacking myself. But at the same time, when you really think about what Christ is asking you to do and the sacrifice, and we know, take your cross up and do that. And we just say, okay, Jesus said that. No, that figurative language really means something. It's saying be like Joshua. Sit up under Moses all day, all night. Get up under him and meditate on your word. Be strong and courageous and be bold about Christ. Excuse me. Be bold about being an apostle for Christ. Amen? Also, one of the another discovery, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16, it talks about Jesus at all points was tempted. And so when we encounter the hardships of this apprenticeship that we have with the Lord. After you say yes to the Lord, I'm not saying that things aren't going to be positive, but there are going to be situations where you are going to seriously doubt what the Lord is doing at that moment in that time. And even though that doubt is a sin, let's be clear, it is a natural human instinct to say, oh, what is happening, right? And when you understand where you're learning from and who you're learning to respond from, I'm sure I've said it in one of my messages before, but there's a part of your brain called the hippocampus. Once that is learned, that learns how to respond to something, it responds to that same thing the same way every single time until it learns something else. Until something more powerful overtakes it. And if we know that God used his power to speak and his word to speak things into existence, and that's the most powerful thing that we need to meditate on to change our ways so that we are now remembering who we're learning up under. Sometimes we just slap Jesus on and say, I'm with Jesus. And he'd be like, you don't listen to anything that I say. You are still carrying things from years of being mistreated and this, that, and the third. And that was his conversation with me. It was like, I don't worry about what happens to the yoke once you take it off. Once that horse takes that load off, he is trying to get far away from that load. He is not trying to put it back on. That's the interesting part. Nature is very interesting, and God shows himself in so many spaces that even in nature, the horse, once the horse takes the load off, he is not running to put it back on. He is actually running to the stable to sit down and to actually hope that the next yoke is lighter. And so we, as we discover what it looks like to be an apprentice, right, because that is going to cause us to share some things. In Jewish culture, again, they left their lifestyle. They left their home. They left everything that they knew to go learn a skill from someone else, to go be what it is that they feel that God gave them the gift to do, if you will. Another example that just popped in my head is Samuel. And his mother took him back to the temple to live and to stay and to be an apprentice to Eli. To Eli. And because of Samuel, Samuel anointed David. Samuel was able to consume the presence of God in his space to learn so that he could be a great example and do everything that God needed him to do. And Samuel had a hard job as a priest. Samuel was telling people that they was going to die. Samuel was giving bad news left and right to people. And he continued and pressed his way to continue to do what God wanted him to do. Amen? So the yoke that we carry are those things of the unforgiveness, the grief, the depression. And it's not just those things that we add on. Sometimes we are offended by others. I'm reading a book called The Bait of Satan. And when you are offended by someone, you are functioning in your pride. This is what this book has opened up. And so I was kind of offended, right, reading the book about not being offended. And when I was able to sacrifice my thinking, take my yoke off of intellectual wisdom, right, I was able to consume and understand what God was really trying to say in that space. He was saying that it's not that you being offended is a problem. You being offended is a problem because you don't trust me to fix the problem. You have to fix the problem. And because you can't fix the problem right then and there like you want to, you're now offended. But when you understand who your vindicator is and you take that intellectual yoke off and you take on the mind of Christ, because you're a new creation, when you come into Christ, you're a new creation. All the old things pass away. New things come anew. And renew your mind. Renew your thinking. When you remind yourself, up, I got Jesus yoke on. Let me remind myself of that. Okay, Lord, you do it. Very, very hard lesson for me. The last time we talked, I was in solitude, and I'm still there. I haven't logged into Facebook in months. I mean, social media is just like a bare minimum for me. And I've been walking this thing, and I asked God, like, what does this look like for me? What can I do better? What is it that you want? What of me? What is it that you have planned for me, right? Because we always want to know what God got going on, right? And so I was challenged with the work being consistent, and I was also challenged with the word of love. And again, I've admitted to having a love problem, and that's because of physical things that have happened. And I also have come to understand that in order to be an apprentice to the most holy God that there is, the God of the universe, the actual God of the universe, you have to give up everything, including your life. And then he pointed back to Christ's example. Christ gave up everything and he never sinned. And so it's not that God says, you owe me. It's just God says, please be reminded of how holy I am of the things and be aware of the things that I do not agree with, that you agree with, that I don't agree with. And this is why this apprenticeship is going the way that it is. That was like, okay, Lord, okay, you done hit me with 12 curveballs in 5 different times in 4 minutes. But he was being real, and I asked the question, and I caught myself ready for the answer. And he says, hey, when you take off that yoke of yours and you put on my yoke consistently, then we can talk about what I have for you. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, nice. Okay, Lord. Right? But that was real. And it was, we want more, Lord, bless me with this. Be able to give me the capacity to do this. And that's what we don't have any room, because our yoke is full of things that should been given up already. Things that should be not in the way. Right? And we decide those things sometimes. Sometimes we say, yep, I'm over this. But then when it comes back up, like, we cringe again and we just ignore that part. We don't deal with it. We just say, oh, maybe I'm just really not over it. Well, maybe you should do something about not being over it if that's what you're trying to do. But if this is something that is now in almost basically in the place of unforgiveness, now we're sinning and now you're comfortable sinning. And what does that yoke look like? Amen. Amen. As I close, I wanted to highlight that the Lord constantly reminds Joshua to be strong and courageous. And so I too want to encourage you is that when we walk this walk, that we have, again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, we have someone who has walked this walk in the same vessel that we have. And he's had the ability to be about his father's business 100% of the time that he was here, including the spaces where he had to ask the Lord to continue to just pour into him so that he did not. Because I believe there were spaces and hard spaces where Jesus was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to just stand right here and you pour right into me until I'm done, amen. And so because I believe that he was that connected to the Lord like that. And so if we are going to walk this walk like Christ, then we must get into our word and understand what the Lord is trying to say to us in so many different spaces. I told the kids at school that the Old Testament is full of stories for a reason. The Old Testament and the New Testament complement each other. And so what you're going to see in the Old Testament, you're going to see in the New Testament. Jesus' life was an example of what they built foundationally in the Old Testament. Yes, he is the ultimate sacrifice. But people have to follow directions to get him here. Remember, it took the physical part too. And so that was somebody literally saying, you know what, I'm going to follow directions. John the Baptist, an apprentice of the Lord. And he said, I'm going to set the stage like you want me to, Lord. Be a John the Baptist. Set the stage. Set the stage for the Lord to come in and bless your workplace and bless your home and bless your car, wherever you have people, wherever you people are, right? Be a John the Baptist. Be an example of an apprentice to someone else, because these children are looking for that. I've been at the Westside for 2 years now and an amazing, amazing group. And one of the things that one of the kids told me was that, Mr., you always you. And I have to get comfortable being me. I am a very bubbly person, and some people don't take that well. And so I have to understand when to give it, when to have it, when to just not give it around that person. Because energy is energy, and children need that. But all in all, I said that to say that there's an illumination that comes from your obedience as an apprentice to the Lord. When you say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to put all of the things that I want to do to the side, and I want to see what it is you want me to do for your kingdom. Be surprised. You will be surprised. It is something that you enjoy. The Lord, some things the Lord is going to have you doing that you absolutely don't want to do. But most of the time, the Lord's like, listen, I know you love to talk. Why don't you be a teacher for me now? Just tap into it. Don't be afraid to go ask the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I don't know how to learn from you. I don't know how to sit down and listen. and to even put this together, Lord. Or, Lord, I have this an idea, and I don't know where to go with it. Let me start with you, because I know that you'll teach me everything that I need to know, and I'm willing to learn everything that it is you're willing to give me. Be open. One of last note, though, an apprentice has to be open-minded. An apprentice has to be open-minded because they are receiving information. Yes, they are there to be an assistant, to give help, to do these type of things, but they're also there to absorb the expertise of the master, the rabbi, the Adonai. Amen? God calls himself the master, and so when we are apprentices to him, we are acknowledging him as master of our lives. Amen. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through 30 from the Amplified version. I admire Joshua's walk because Joshua went through the wilderness with Moses. He watched Moses up and down, and when God called Joshua, God had to tell Joshua multiple times, be strong and courageous, which means Joshua, even all that time that Joshua spent with Moses, he doubted himself when it was his turn. And that's what happens. And children are doubting themselves because we're not teaching them. And it's not that Moses didn't teach him. I want to believe that something that was a disconnect somewhere to where Joshua was like, I am fierce. Or it could have just been one of those things where Satan came in and said, be afraid and be deathly afraid and be afraid because Moses was scared. You be scared. Why not? Don't allow the enemy to come in and shift what the apprenticeship program that you have with the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to come in and tell you what your walk is supposed to look like with the Lord. And don't compare yourself to other people's walk because an apprentice is with that person, which means they're learning everything. They're not learning from five different people. They're learning from one person. And allow the Lord to be that one person. Allow only the Lord to be that one person. Because ideally, if there's more than one person, that might be idolatry, right? When you are leaning on more than one understanding, don't lean on your own understanding, nor lean on other people's. Lean on the Lord. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed, quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Some synonyms for apprentice. Disciple, learner, scholar. Sorry, not educator. Scholar. Learn to learn from the Lord. Don't assume. Don't tell the Lord what he's thinking. Even when it comes to how you walk your walk, don't just say, yep, the Lord's going to love this. Check in with the Lord. We're supposed to constantly be praying anyway. Yes, we get caught up doing other things, but it's time to be really aggressive, if you will, about serving the Lord and serving the Lord as an apprentice and learning from the Lord as an apprentice, not just what he can give you after you're done with what you think he has for you, quote unquote. You actually are there sitting up under the Lord's feet because you're willing to take his yoke on every single moment. Even the moment where you're about to mess up, you need to hurry up, put Jesus' yoke off, and say, wait. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for being more than amazing to our lives. Lord, we ask that you lighten our load. Lord, allow us to be courageous enough to cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. Lord, thank you for
being just an ever-present help in times of trouble, Lord, and thank you for the examples that you set in the Bible, Lord, and allow us to soak up Christ's example and to just be as close of an apprentice as he was to you. Lord, we ask that as we walk this walk, that those people that we run into, Lord, that will pour into our lives, Lord, that it's all for positive purpose and not for antagonizing reasons, Lord. We thank you for all of the mentors that have been given to us throughout the years, all the teachers, all of the help, Lord, and we just thank you again and bless you for being genuinely amazing. Lord, we thank you again for being able to be here in a space, Lord, and we just ask that you bless us with an amazing week, and we ask that the holidays are comforting and not egregious, Lord, and just thank you again for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is her and these four words. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I know you're good.
Beautiful song. I was expecting Pastor to play like a Christmas song.
he threw me off with that one. I almost wanted to cry, but like, no, we're not going to do that because then you'd be snotting and then it'd just be totally unattractive. But thy will be done. That is what we want to say to the Lord. That is what Jesus said when he was in the garden before he had to face that horrendous crucifixion. Not my will, but thy will be done. He even was like, yo, Dad, if there's a way that we can kind of go around this so I don't have to do that, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. One of the things that I have learned most recently that has stuck with me in Pastor Janet's Sunday school class is that Jesus, not only was he fully God, we always acknowledge that Jesus is fully God, but the biggest part is that he was fully man. And the fact that Jesus was a man who ascended back to heaven should completely change our lives. Jesus is not some far-fetched figure or figment of our imagination. He is not someone who does not know what it was like for his feet to hit the same pavement that we walk every single day. Jesus being a man, a human being, allows us to connect with him through his humanity. But because he is also fully God, we can give him everything that we struggle with, that we deal with, that we go through, that we have problems with, people, places, work, finances, ourselves, sin, whatever. And we can cast that on him. Y'all know I gave y'all the definition of cast quite some time ago. It means to forcefully throw something away from you. So he didn't just say, you know, just bring it to me, hand it to me, I'll put it in my back pocket. He said, no, cast your care on me, which means to forcefully throw that mess off of you and get it on me. You know, if anybody's played dodgeball, okay, the whole point of dodgeball is to get that ball and tag the heck out of somebody with it flying across the gym. You don't just go and want to tap somebody. You are casting that ball across. And that's what the Lord is telling us to do because he can handle it. When you're talking about yokes and burdens, and he's like, give me all of that. I got all of that. And I can handle all of that. And so when we're listening to a song that says, thy will be done, it is us giving him our crap so that we can stay in line with what he has for us because we want his will to be done, even in the midst of everything else that we got going on. So Pastor Sarah Tate's message, every time she preached, I'd be like, ooh, Jesus, I'm going to talk about that. And then I'm like, ooh, I'm going to talk about that. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just not going to say nothing. And I thought today I wasn't going to have anything to say, but obviously I always do. Look, cast your cares on the Lord, but be mindful that you have a purpose here, and the goal is for his will to be done. Amen. So, Pastor Sarah, thank you for that message. It was not only appropriate for us as seasoned Christians, not for those of us who are just older in the word and still trying to figure it out, but for our youth, because for our children, it's so important for them to understand that there is no peace that this world is going to give them. You know, when you send your kids out into the world, I mean, you're sending them out into hell, essentially, okay? All types of stuff is going on out in the world. Our children need to know that their peace and their foundation needs to come from God, and they don't have to fit the standard and the mold of what this world wants. We need to do what God wants. And in that, we tell the Lord, Lord, not my will, not this world's will, but your will be done. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Sarah, for bringing that awesome word to us. We are so, so grateful. Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. It is the fourth Saturday of the month of December. Christmas is a couple days away. I swear it was just October, and I was telling y'all to put all y'all decorations up at one time. See, that's why, because we're going to blink, and it's going to be Christmas in 2 days. Amen. So time is going by really fast, but God is good, and we are so grateful. So just by way of a couple of announcements, tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Amen. So Sunday, December 24th at 9 a.m., we will have our Sunday school. at Run for Christ Ministries. We are located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Again, 9 a.m. is our Sunday school. 10 a.m., we have some of the cutest kids in our church, okay? They are adorable, all right? And so tomorrow at 10 a.m., our youth department will present to us a Christmas program, okay? We'll have Christmas speeches. We'll have a play, you know, slash skit thingy that they're going to be doing, all under the leadership of our very own Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, who you just heard preach, and her sister, Naomi Carter. Amen. And so we invite you to come and be with us on this Christmas Eve and just partake in the awesomeness of our little babies. Amen. And so come out, be with us, visit with us. After the program, Pastor O is going to be bringing the word. I don't know if he's going to be doing a special Christmas message or if he's just going to continue with faith, finances, and you, because that is what he started off last week. So nevertheless, it doesn't matter what the message is. Just come and worship with us, fellowship with us, and be blessed by our babies, okay? So just make sure to share this information with family and friends. If no one has come to church all year long, tomorrow is a great day to come. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday at 6 p.m., you all know we have our Bible class on Blog Talk Radio. You need a textbook. We got new books because we're in a new quarter. So if you need a book, visit our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the Bible classes tab to purchase the book. Read the assignments before the class, and the questions are always at the end of each chapter for discussion. This week, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson is the teacher for the class. Amen. Just a reminder that this week on Friday, Bring Back the Family is going to be canceled. Amen. So don't tune in on Friday at 7 p.m. for Bring Back the Family, because the Blog Talk Radio is going to tell you that you don't have any shows scheduled for the next 24 hours because Deaconess Kathy is not going to be on. Amen. So Bring Back the Family is canceled this Friday so we can be with our families for the holiday season. Amen. We do want to remind you that Minister Lachelle Anderson has her own Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love, and it happens on Mondays at 6:30 p.m., again, on Blog Talk Radio. For more information on the phone number to log in, just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and go under the Christian Resources tab, and you can get the information to tune in to Minister Shelley's Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love. So we just want to give a huge shout out and a big long thank you, amen, to Pastor O for bringing us the annual history of Christmas on yesterday. It was very informative, as always. Look, personally, I don't know how Pastor does it. He keeps all the info in his brain, but honestly, I think he just has like a downloadable type of brain. So he'll download it, bring it out, then he'll put it back in the archives. There's no way that Pastor just keeps all that stuff in his brain all the time. But it was amazing, as always. And for those of you who did not get a chance to tune in, I know everything we do here is recorded, archived, and free. So it's recorded. Go back at your leisure and, you know, go to our church website, rfcm.org, and download it and listen to it and share with others. Learn about the origin of Christmas. You know, talk about the man in the red suit, amen. You get facts on candy canes and why we have them, okay? Not to mention the awesome Christmas music that was selected by our very own DJ Pastor O and, you know, the Holy Spirit, because he'd be on the ones and twos or whatever they say about the, you know, the DJ thing or whatever. But anyway, y'all know we had great, awesome Christmas music as well. So you'll definitely be blessed, okay? So if you weren't able to listen for whatever reason, just go back and listen to it. And like I said, download it for yourself. Share with others. The Christmas story or the history of Christmas is not something that we focus on it this time of year, because it's when we celebrate Christmas, but Jesus, as we know, is the reason for this season. So there's nothing wrong with listening to it all year long, because Jesus is the reason for everything, right? Not just this season, but every season. Amen. So again, just go back and listen to it. You'll most definitely be blessed, and share it with someone else and bless them as well. Amen. Please remember again that all of our classes and services that we have on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. RFCM.org is the place to go. We've got classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more. Again, all available for free. Don't keep it to yourself. Use it for what you need it for, and make sure to share it with others. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, church website, RFCM.org is the place to go. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, who brought the word today, please go to our church website. If you would like to give, like through PayPal or whatever, through the church website, you can do that. But also, if you go to our church website, there is a place where you can click on where it says preacher offerings, and I believe she has a Cash App on there if you feel more comfortable doing it that way. Or you can just do it through our church website, rfcm.org, and we will make sure that she receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with her. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word, especially in today's day and time, goes a very long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. And man, you don't know how, if you just smile at somebody, how you just might make their day. Look, I've held doors open for people, and next thing I know, they're like, you can order whatever you want because somebody already paid for your food. So you never know how such a small thing can be a huge blessing for you, and you have no idea how such a small thing can be something that blesses someone else. Amen. So just make sure to take some time out to be some sunshine to somebody today. It's cloudy where I'm at, but we know the sun rises every day, and it shines every day. It's just covered by little clouds today, but that's all right. Amen. So just take some time out today to be some sunshine to somebody in your world, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. And that's true. You never know, like I said, what the little small things that you may be doing that you might think are significant. God is watching. He's always watching. He sees everything, and you'll be surprised. Other people are always watching you, too, and you never know how something so small, again, can be something so big in a person's life. Amen? So we just want to continue to ask that you pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Continue to pray for Doris Gaither and Nakia, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Cheryl, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrook, Nico Gaston, Melanie and her father, Jedediah, Micah, and Anthony, Darius and his mom, Keela, Ed and Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all those who are caregiving, nursing, doctoring, working in the medical field, those who are in nursing homes and long-term care facilities, and those are who are in hospice care. This is the time of year where, you know, my mom was in a nursing home for quite some time before she passed, and I saw a lot of holidays come and go, and you kind of, you know, you learn the people, you see the people, you know the people, and you realize that there are so many people who are in these facilities, and no one comes to visit them. They have no family that come. They have no church family that come. They have no neighbors that come. They have no people who they've raised or taken care of to come. No one comes to visit them. And some of them are aware, and some of them are not. But this is the time of year where, you know, people get really, really lonely and they get really, really sad. So when it comes to the nursing homes and long-term care facilities and things like that, continue to pray for them. Amen. All of our teachers and our staff and students, everybody's on break, praise God, so everybody can regroup to start off again for the new year. I continue to pray for them that they get the rest and recuperation that they need, not only just the teachers and the staff, but the students as well. All of our leaders from our local communities all the way up to Washington, D.C., our president, vice president, continue to pray for your pastors who shepherd you. We keep our pastors on lock as far as prayer is concerned at Run for Christ Ministries, amen, because they got big old giant moving targets on them all the time, okay? So continue to pray for those who shepherd you, amen, that they continue to follow the Lord as you continue to follow them, amen? Pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. Some of the biggest prayers, if not the biggest prayer, that we need to lift up are prayers for those who are unsaved. Amen. And so when all of this that we see in this world is done and over with, when we're past Christmas, past New Year's, and kind of going on with the rest of the year, unsaved people are who we need to be praying for. Because when this life here is over, when what we see and what we're doing here is done and over with, there is no do-over. Amen. So we need to continue to pray for those who are unsaved, that they accept Christ, that those who are in the body of Christ, that we are planting seeds and watering seeds of salvation to people so they can get in, and then before it's too late. All right, so again, just continue to pray for all those who are sick and shut in, the lonely, the lost, the confused, the stressed, depressed, those who are hurting, those who are homeless during this holiday season, okay? As far as those who are bereaved, please continue to pray for Deacon Charles Tate and the Tate family, and again, all of those who've lost loved ones, not necessarily recently, but whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, grief is a process, and sometimes it hurts more than others. Some things sting a little bit more than others. Some things are more triggering to people than others. So, you know, again, as I've been saying for a little while now, that the holidays are here, okay? It don't really get no closer to Christmas Day right now, except for Christmas Day, all right? And so we all need to take the time to stop and think about others and what they might be going through this time of year. You know, we're all engrossed in going here, going there, buying this, buying that, shopping here, shopping there. You know, people are not patient. Everyone is running around like chickens with no head. It's insane, okay? But some people are missing their friends and loved ones. Some are lonely and alone again. Some have no hope and they're suffering from depression. We, as the body of Christ, need to be kind and caring and courteous to everyone. But most of all, we need to treat everyone with grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness, which is the same way that our Lord Jesus Christ deals with us. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 12 says to love one another as I have loved you. That wasn't Jesus saying, okay, if you feel like it, okay, because that's just not how that goes. It's a commandment, okay? And so just remember to treat others, not how they treat you, especially if they're treating you bad, but how you want to be treated. Amen. And so happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if you celebrated throughout this month, happy birthday to you. Amen. So our personal birthdays at Running for Christ Ministries, my sister Carmen celebrated her birthday on the 8th. Reverend Joseph Stevens celebrated his birthday on the 9th. John celebrated his big 18th birthday, amen, on the 15th. And my sister Anita is going to be closing out this month with her birthday on the 31st. Amen. So once again, happy, happy birthday and much blessings and love to each and every one of you. All right. And last but not least is your devotional for today. And it is entitled, A Transformation is Coming. This is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Y'all already know what's up with his devotionals. I love them, and that's why you get them. All right, so it reads as follows. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44. Have you ever looked in the mirror and cringed? I mean, the image you see is not what you want to see. Perhaps there are wrinkles or flab or bald spots or blemished skin. Perhaps your body is wearing out right before your eyes. I know that is true for me. My joints are not what they used to be. My body is stiff and sore much of the time. As I type this, things are getting blurrier by the day. Trust me, growing old isn't for cowards. Many of you reading this can relate. Some of you are saying, just wait until you get my age. If you think it's tough at your tender age of 61, try 81. Just about everything quits working by then. Hey, is there any good news for an aging body? Yes. A new body is in store for every Christian. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you can be assured that God will raise you up one day too and will give you a resurrected body that will blow you away. It's like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said that the resurrection of the body is much like a seed planted in the ground. A seed doesn't look like much when it is planted, but when it comes out of the ground, it sure does. An acorn is not something to shout about, but when a mighty oak tree is, but a mighty oak tree is. So, as the poem says, when you're down and feeling blue, Just look at an acorn and see what a nut can do. Amen. God says that our bodies are sown in dishonor and weakness. Our physical bodies are perishable and perishing. It's just like the little boy who was peeling his sunburned skin and lamented to his mother, I'm only 4 years old and I'm already coming apart. How true. The moment we start to live, we start to die. We all have a perishable body. It's a transformation. But the imperishable is coming. Glory and power are coming to the child of God in his or her body. A caterpillar may look pretty ugly as it inches along the ground, but one day that same ugly caterpillar is going to emerge from its cocoon with wings and beauty and glory that befits a monarch butterfly. If you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, there is a wonderful transformation coming your way. Because you see, when Jesus saves a person, he saves the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. The initial instantaneous transformation takes place in our spirit as we are justified and made right with God the moment we repent and believe. The ongoing transformation takes place in the soul as we are sanctified and made more like Christ each day in the way we act and react. And the last and final transformation takes place in our bodies as we are giving a spiritual body that is just like our resurrected Lord. Our new imperishable body given to us when the Lord returns will not be governed by limitations, sickness, fatigue, pain, or death. When you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, when you get up in the morning and feel a pain in your back, when you squint to read the street signs, and when you struggle with constant fatigue, just remember that a transformation day is coming. A new body is on the way, and that is something to get excited about. Amen. And from all of us at Run for Christ Ministries to all of our Blog Talk listeners all around the world, we would like to wish you and your families a very merry and blessed Christmas. Remember, Jesus is and always will be the real reason for the season. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen and amen.
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 That's some awesome stuff. You know, 15, wasn't that 1 Corinthians 15 is resurrection
yes.
of Christ. That's got to happen first. Then there is a resurrection of the dead. That means the dead actually get up. And then there's a resurrection of the body. Amen.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
Get all three of those just because
Praise
we
God.
Come to Jesus. I love it.
See, get the bennies, like you call them, get the bennies.
The bennies, that's right.
Get the bennies.
Get your bennies. These are the bennies, the benefits.
Yes.
That's right. I want to know.
Amen.
I once heard a man say, if it's a benefit for me, I want it.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
This will fit this conversation, but when that person said that, it was the wrong time. But this is the right time.
Of course.
Amen. This Amen. Is the right time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love my dear. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Amen.
Amen.
She got me all messed up. That's the last person Jesus. I need to see speaking English. You know what I'm saying?
See?
Hello.
See? Horrible.
That's when she gets Hello. Proper. Hello. I'm like, go back to hood. Go back. You was
terrible. Terrible.
At least
terrible.
You, Jesus. She killed me when
oh,
she break
Lord.
Proper. But anyway, we
yeah.
thank God for you, Crystal. Appreciate
Amen.
You. Tell me I say what's
Absolutely.
Up.
I sure will. Love you all.
Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Woo. Amen. We thank God for apprenticeship. You know, apprenticeship is powerful. Let me tell you, I was an apprentice at Kimlon. They've been sold, so I can say the name. At Kimlon, I was an apprentice for 3.5 years. That led to me owning a business doing that for 25 years. Amen. My wife and I were able to retire from it and sell it. Amen. Apprenticeship. I used to watch my father work on cars. I used to watch him work on a lot of things. I do all those things in my house today. Okay. I watched my uncle, Buster. His name was William, but they called him Buster. And my uncle, John, they called him Bill. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, I watched him work on cars. I'll never forget seeing him take a valve cover off, start the motor, and look at the rocker arms and figure out which one wasn't working right, cut it off, adjust it, and then the car runs smooth. I watched him take a lawnmower apart and put it back together. Probably shouldn't have seen that because I went home and took my father's apart and put it back together, but it didn't work like when he did it. It started smoking, and then it cut off. I looked this way, I looked that way, and I put it back in the shed, and I walked off to the corner. Amen. But guess what? That led to me becoming an auto mechanic. I went to school for auto mechanics and became an apprentice again in 1980. And then I went to work for a couple of dealerships and things, and then the Lord came and switched everything up, and I became an apprenticeship, as I told you. Apprenticeship is powerful. And those are secular vocations, right? But what if you become an apprenticeship, you enter into an apprenticeship with Jesus? Amen. What do you learn from him that you live out in this everyday life? Amen. Become an apprentice. You're already a disciple, a follower. You're a Christian. That word is Christianos, right? You know what that means? Follower of Christ, partisan for Christ. Be that. If God's offering it to us, amen, we want that, amen. So let's give thanks to God for Pastor Janice Tate. Awesome Bible class. I'm telling you, she turned school out, amen. I thank God for digging this Kathy Clyburn, getting those young folks together so we can have youth Saturday. When we're out of here, and even before we get out of here, they're going to be learning how to do this. So when we do get out of here, they can just step right up and keep this thing going, right? Amen. So we thank God for Harley. And who was that, Demetra? Amen. Thank God for her as well. And Harley for that altar call. Thank God for the preacher of the hour, Pastor Sarah Tate. Still amazes the crap out of me. I'm like, Jesus. He's like, what? She ain't been preaching long enough to preach that good. Amen. He said, well, I guess she don't know that because she preaching that good. Amen. But John the Baptist say, nobody could have anything unless God gave it. I love that. John chapter 3. Amen. So God gave her two Running for Christ ministries, and I am so thankful that God has surrounded me. If you want to know what Pastor O want for Christmas, he got it. All this awesome help that God has given me. I mean, Pastor Sarah Tate runs the youth church. She the pastor over there. Pastor Janice Tate run the adult church school and the praise scene. She's the pastor over there. Got a, amen, executive board that run all the business of the church over there. Amen. Got deacons and deaconesses who take care of the needs of the people over there and everywhere. You're like, what do you do, Pastor? Oh, shut up. Don't be asking me that. Amen. Come on around. I'll give you a job. Then I won't be doing that either. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We thank God for each and every one of you. Merry Christmas from my wife and myself to each and every one of you. You might as well go on and have a Merry Christmas because Jesus made it merry. Don't be hating on any of the things that come from all over the place to create this tradition we call Christmas. But you look like hating and inanimate. I don't like Christmas trees. Go up to the Christmas tree and tell it that and see if it responds. Amen. So enjoy the season. Do like Jesus. Take what you got and give it to somebody else. Wow. Now that's Christmas. Amen. Christmas ain't about you. Christmas is what did he say over there in Acts 20 and 35, I believe it is. It's far better to what? Give than to receive. And here is Christmas. Go out and make that happen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you tomorrow at Running for Christ Ministries. Can't wait to see the kids and their product, what they're going to present to us tomorrow. And as for a sermon, tomorrow we will be talking about the offering. Amen. Like Pastor Tate taught us that Jesus came and he's the greatest offering you could possibly receive, but we're talking about the offering we're going to give. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. See you later. Woo!